This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, September 3rd, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Merced AgTech Alliance gets $9 million. A flurry of fiscal bills hit the floor. And GT's Farm Aid Plan. State invests $9 million in Merced AgTech Alliance. California's awarded $9.2 million to the Merced AgTech Alliance to accelerate innovation and economic growth in the Central Valley. The Community Foundation of Merced County, Merced College, UC Merced, and the Reservoir are leading the effort. The new funding from California's Jobs First Initiative will help to launch shovel-ready projects to strengthen the workforce and support startups. The alliance projects the investment will create more than 3,000 high-quality jobs, support more than 100 ag tech startups, and provide 250 internships for underserved communities. It will anchor three key facilities, the Ag Tech Innovation Center at Merced College, the Ag Tech Barn at UC Merced, and Reservoir Farms, which will serve as a testing ground for real-world agricultural technology. With this ruling, the partners aim to establish the Central Valley as a leading hub for ag tech, directly linking education, research, and industry to long-term growth. You can read more about the Reservoir and the Jobs First funding in the AgriPulse West newsletter. It's hitting inboxes this morning. School food, farm worker heat, pesticide bills, clear fiscal hurdle. Several ag-related measures advanced out of the Assembly and Senate Appropriation Committees last week. Among them was AB 1264, directing state officials to define, quote, particularly harmful ultra-processed foods and requiring schools to phase them out by 2028. AB 1336 also cleared the Senate committee, calling for stronger protections for farm workers during extreme heat. Other bills were AB 1331. It would restrict the use of workplace surveillance tools, and AB 1042, which would establish managed honeybee health program. The Assembly Committee approved SB 72 on setting a long-term water supply target, along with AB 411 on composting livestock carcasses. AB 732 would address abandoned crops, and AB 1319 pushes for Trump-proofing the Endangered Species Act. AB 1413 would require groundwater adjudications to remain consistent with pumping limits outlined in Sigma plans. Again, to dig into more on the results with the West newsletter. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Bravo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Thompson eyes tariff revenue to fund farm aid. House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson says Congress can use tariff revenue to provide a new round of emergency aid to farmers to compensate them for uncertainty around exports. "We're going to have to do something," Thompson told AgriPulse. He said the payments could be incorporated into the skinny farm bill his committee will be drafting. He said, quote, "I actually think it should come from some of those tariff monies that were collected. Let's leave the CCC intact," Thompson said. "I don't know how many hundreds of billions of dollars we collected of the tariffs, and we wouldn't need that much. It would be a fraction of that." He also said that part of the economic uncertainty is as a result of the trade negotiations, which I fully support. By the way, commodity program payments on the 2025 crop could hit $15 billion due to changes Congress made
in the one big beautiful bill. That according to ag accounting specialist Paul Neifer. That figure, though, includes the adjustment for 85% of base acres, but it does not account for some farmers hitting the payment limit. Farmers with corn base could qualify for up to $9 billion, wheat base about $3 billion before the 85% adjustment. Keep in mind, farmers won't see those payments on their 25 crop until October 2026. Farm income forecasts due out, farmers' outlook sours. USDA is due today to release its first forecast for farm income since February. The report comes amid indications that row crop producers are increasingly concerned about their finances. The Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer Index fell 10 points in August to 125. The monthly survey found that many farmers expect to borrow more money to operate next year. Some 22% of the farmers surveyed in August said they expect their 26 operating loan to be larger. A summary of the survey says, quote, financial stress appears to be noticeably higher than it was in January 23, when just 5% of farms with larger operating loans attributed that to the need to carry over unpaid operating debt. Or January 24, when 17% of farms with large operating loans said it was because of the same reason. Now, 23% say they expect to carry over operating debt. States back federal employee unions, including FSIS and AFIS. A coalition of 20 state attorneys general is supporting the right of federal employee unions to engage in collective bargaining. The states joined the American Federation of Government Employees in a lawsuit challenging an executive order from March that removed that right for agencies involved in national security issues. Included among them are the Food Safety and Inspection Service and the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Protecting America's national security is a core constitutional duty. President Trump refuses to let union obstruction interfere with his efforts to protect Americans and our national interests, the EO said. AFGE's lawsuit challenged the order as retaliation for constitutionally protected speech after winning a preliminary injunction halting Trump's move. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals stayed the injunction. USTR to begin hearings in Brazil investigation. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative today will hear from stakeholders on Brazilian trade practices as a part of Section 301 investigation. Representatives of the Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, the National Corn Growers Association, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the National Pork Producers Council, and the National Cotton Council have all asked to appear. Now take note, as a part of the investigation, USTR is looking into both ethanol tariffs and Brazil's enforcement of deforestation regulations. Here's today's final word. We're ready to make Merced the heart of global ag tech innovation, much like Silicon Valley has done for technology. That Danny Bernstein, CEO of The Reservoir, cheering the state spending on the Merced Ag Tech Alliance. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, September 3rd, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Elliott.